From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum Up and Down episode and also the NBA trade deadline. Are the Knicks going to do something at the trade deadline? Are we going to get into that, get perspectives from the stakeholders of what the Knicks should do, or is the best move is no move? Let's have that discussion around the Fan Forum. You know, I have actually another question. I really wish and some Knicks fans made this episode so we could really have a back and forth. Because I want to ask Dominic, I want to ask Coach Chris, I want to ask Knickerbocker Avenue himself how they feel about Julius Randle. In the sense of, I put it like this, I don't have an issue with Julius Randle going to bat, fighting for calls, getting emotional, slamming chairs after the game in Brooklyn, and even after the Sixers game, right? Just the call that happened in that game, I don't necessarily have an issue of our team captain showing emotion. I want to know where the Knicks fans stand with that. Are they okay with Julius Randle, like, showing his emotions, or they want a guy that's just not showing as much emotion? Well, because I think some of the Knicks fans on social media, Twitter, behind the scenes, all that stuff, there's a back and forth, like, what is your preference? And me personally, and if you listen to this platform over the last several years, I mean, I'm glad the fact that we got somebody who goddamn cares. I mean, it's as simple as that, and a winning ball player as well. The Knicks still currently in the playoff hunt, and I see other teams that just came out of nowhere. Like the Hawks, like all of a sudden they're the four seed, and I thought they were just 2 weeks ago. I wrote them off for dead. Got to replace their head coach with an interim head coach, and they're right back in the mix of things. Charlotte, right now, if you look at the Charlotte Hornets, they're right out LaMelo Ball. How much of a gain or how much will they lose without him on the court? The Knicks right now had a nice bounce back win versus the Wizards last night. Got another one coming up, Milwaukee over the weekend. Well, let's talk about it. Knickerbocker Avenue, Fan Forum, Knickerbocker Avenue. We'll bring them on IG and, of course, Facebook. It doesn't bring on Dom and Coach Chris. And I say hello to the people, sir, and we'll lead off with you. How you doing, sir?
Yo, what's good? It's good. It's good, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on? Dominic, how you doing?
I'm pumped, dude. I'm pumped today.
Yeah. Dom, what's going on? How you doing?
Good evening, Steven, Knickerbocker Ave, and all the fellas.
All right. Shout out to Don. How you doing, Don? Good?
Yes, sir. I always put it right on mute when I'm done. Yeah, I'm good, Steve. Every day is a good day.
I do the same thing.
I'm sitting outside in the outside room. It's beautiful.
Oh, cool.
I can't complain, Steve.
All right, cool. Let's go to Coach Chris. Coach Chris, you're Baylor Bears, man. Not bad for the first go-around, man. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing all right. So far, it's been a good week. We should stop the season right now and just give Julius Randle the MVP trophy. And, yeah, I'm still riding with the Baylor Bears until the wheels fall off.
All right. Shout-outs to the Baylor Bears. And decent tournament games. We'll probably get to the end of that at the end of this episode because that always ties into draft prospects and so on and so forth. Av, you said you're pumped up. I want to go there, man. NBA trade deadline question. Do the Knicks make a move? Should they make a move? What do you want to do with the Knicks? Is any move good at all? But also my other question, this goes back to the Sixers game. Actually, go back to the Brooklyn game and all the technical fouls, Julius Randle. We've been doing these episodes for years. I'm just glad for the fact that we have a player that came here and is dying to win and showing emotion. Some Knicks fans like it. Some Knicks fans don't like it. I'm actually all for it. And I actually think Julius Randle has actually a case for complaining to the refs on what happened in that Sixers game. You saw one guy try to take him down. You know, it was clearly evident. The refs missed the call. They had to go to replay to upgrade it to a flagrant one. Even at the end of the game, where Julius Randle did have a little bit of a love tap underneath. It was a foul in today's NBA, but I'm tired of the soft shit in the NBA with this foul shit, man. But Julius Randle, I don't have no issues with him issuing technicals because I think he has a legit case in a lot of these situations. But are you one of those Knicks fans that Julius Randle or just your best player having emotion, or you rather have more of the Derek Jeter quiet role, go about your business? Also, NBA trade deadline stuff, and we'll go to Dom after that with the same questions, Coach Chris, and let's get it popping because trade deadline's tomorrow.
Yeah, in 18 short little hours, the NBA trade deadline will expire, and you know, who knows what deals are being happened. So, to go back to your first question, do I have a problem with Julius Randle showing emotion and really, like, you know, pleading his case? Absolutely not. In fact, I welcome it more and more, probably a little bit more than you, Steve. Personally, when a player is that pumped and is that invested into the game and so passionate about the outcome of the game, you want that from a player. And anybody who has a problem with this showing that, you know, saying that it's unsportsmanlike or you know, it's unprofessional, you obviously do not have never played an organized game of any kind where it's ultra competitive, you know, calls, you know, come at a premium, and you know, very key moments, you know, can actually dictate the outcome of the game. So does Julius Randle have a case? Absolutely. Is there a proper way to do that? Sure. I don't necessarily have a problem with the manner that Julius Randle is handling them. I can understand some people's, you know, gripe about it, but at the same time, when you're a competitor, you're a warrior, you're out there game in and game out, you know, under normal circumstances, it's 82 games. This one's only to be 16 change. But the fact is, he's out there battling, you know, every single night for a W. And when the game is determined by a call that's determined by human error, and it goes against you, everybody's going to be emotional. You're going to be upset. You're going to want to, you know, throw chairs. And I mean, people, you know, baseball players have been doing it for years. Football players have been doing it for years. Freaking in hockey, they used to let them fight, and sometimes they still do. But under no circumstance do I have a problem with that. And, you know, in matter of fact, it's a breath of fresh air to see that a guy is so well invested into the outcome of every game, is in it to win it. You just only hope that everybody on your squad is also under that same influence and it would, you know, demonstrate that on a nightly basis. And especially if you're a Knicks fan, I mean, how many times have we come, have you and me, Steve, and, you know, and Dom, and, you know, Chandler and Sam and everybody who's been on this platform at one point or another, we've all sat down and wondered, where was the emotion from this guy? Where was the emotion from that guy? It's like, or you know, where was the emotion from the team, from the coach, from anybody? Here's Julius Randle being demonstrative in his feelings and his competitive nature, and it's a breath of fresh air for me as a Knicks fan because it matters to him the same way it matters to me. So, big thumbs up to Julius Randle. He has an absolute gripe. I mean, you know, what can you say about that? On the other side, you know, of my phrase here is, you know, obviously the trade deadline coming up in 18 hours, and you know, we haven't heard very much of, you know, very much in terms of what the Knicks are trying to do. I mean, if you read some of the, you know, some of the blog posts and some of, you know, these other insiders that, you know, the Knicks are not probably going to be looking to, you know, to disrupt the team chemistry, I think is a big injustice to the, you know, to the fans and, you know, and to the players, because this is the perfect time for the front office to show that they're in it to win it, which is going to look much better going, you know, in years going forward under this administration. I'm not asking for them to break the bank. I'm not asking them to, you know, to give up the Dallas pick and our pick and then our pick for the next 3 years, plus give up our young talent like R.J. Barrett. So I'm not saying do all that now. I'm not saying repeat the Carmelo Anthony trade. I'm saying you got to do something. You know the team is incomplete. The roster is incomplete. You know where your deficiencies are. You know who's being reported as available. shit because we know what's, you know, is being available. They probably know that of other players that we haven't even heard of that are being discussed in the open market. Why not make a move? Why not try to improve this squad? You just talked about the Atlanta Hawks not being in the fourth seed. Now, given, you know, seed through 4 through 10 are decided within 3 games of each other, give or take. So on any given night, that, you know, that standing could flip on its ear, and we'll be talking about, you know, the Boston Celtics being the number 4 seed, or the Knicks being the 4 seed, or God knows who else in the 4 seed. But the Knicks definitely need to make some kind of a statement, not only to protect Julius Randle, as I explained myself last week, and I've explained myself in multiple tweets, they have to protect Julius Randle, get him some help, a point guard, another scorer, a shooter, anything to improve the profile of this team. Because it's one thing for the Knicks to make the playoffs or this play-in situation. It's another to make it and make some freaking noise. Because then once the Knicks make some noise and earn some real, credible respect and recognition, now we're talking about the possibility of said free agent coming over. Because it's not going to happen right now. There's no free agents knocking at the doors of Madison Square Garden to play for the Knicks right now. But let's show them why they should. I know a lot of people want to stay put. I know a lot of people are too attached to these players. I keep on reiterating the same thing. Don't get attached to all these players because they're all movable. Right now, the only one that's not is Julius Randle. But hey, his contract is up next season. If they don't at least bring him some help over this season and next season, Julius Randle might be considering going elsewhere. Because he's going to want to go to a place where he's going to get protected, where he has a legitimate shot, and the front office is fully devoted and dedicated to making this team credible, respectable, competitive, and eventually be able to go out there to compete for the big gold ball at the end, as presented at the end in June. Right now, there's talk of Andre Drummond. Okay, whatever. But I think the Knicks need a little more. Go out for the Evan Fournier. I mean, we could use a shooter. Not to mention, the Knicks, they have about $17 million worth of cap room. They only need to spend $13 million of it to hit the league minimum in salary before they get hit with a penalty. Let's make a move. Enough is enough. No more excuses. Let's make this team competitive. Let's shoot for the 4th seed, if not possibly the 3rd seed.
Okay. All right, let's go to Dom. Dom, the questions are NBA trade deadline on Thursday, and what would you like to do? Do the Knicks make a move? Do you want the Knicks to make a move? I think I know where you stand, but reiterate it for the audience. And also the other question as far as what type of leader do you prefer? Like, you know, Julius Randle, the types, you know, be emotional for good and bad, or you, I know you're a Yankee fan as well, but you rather have the Derek Jeter go about your business type. Well, what does Dom like? And then we'll get to Coach Chris, and then so on and so forth after that.
Comes to Randle, I'm not afraid to admit that I always liked Bobby Knight. Say what you want about him, he brought fire. And that's what Randall's trying to do. We got to give him credit. I'm not even going to get into the calls and all of that because that's hit or miss, guys. That's why I have no good feeling about the NBA's two-minute report and all of that garbage. It's like watching the X-Files. You're never going to get the truth. It's out there, but you may never get it. That's a waste of time, and I think that just aggravates people more and more. When it comes to Randle, guys, we got to ask ourselves, when's the last time we saw somebody like this on our team? I can't remember, guys, to be honest. I'm throwing it out there for the next guy. Maybe he remembers. But I don't remember having a guy like this that's so fiery. And he just shows heart, man, and that's how we used to be. We had physicality. We had heart. We haven't had that in so long. And again, a lot of it is to do with the NBA and their soft snowflake mentality. But that being said, I just love what he brings, man. Serious. As far as the Knicks and everything else, hey, guys, we're tied for the fifth seed. And this has been fluctuating, what, for about 3 weeks now. The issue with us is we got to stop the win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Because as fast as we be tied for the fifth, we'll be tied for the tenth. And I don't believe in the play-in, guys. I told y'all that from the beginning. That's funny money. I don't like it. Everybody had 72 games to get from 1 to 8. If you didn't make the 8, you know, so be it. Suck it up, drive on. That's how it's been for years. I'm not saying change ain't good, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that old. But I don't believe in that. If you didn't have the guts and the wherewithal to be a 1 through 8, then you didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. That, it's just that damn simple. As far as the trade deadline, guys, before that, you brought up a good point, Steve, with the Hornets missing Ball. But let's not forget, they still have Graham. He could probably be a starting point guard on our team. So they have a good backup. And what's-his-name is coming around, coming off the bench. Believe it or not, they say it all the time when he starts scoring. Terry Rozier, where have you been? But they got a good, solid young team, too. So they're not a flash in the pan this year, I don't think. Of course, guys, I get to see them all the time. So they got some good talent. They got Bridges coming off the bench. Monk coming off the bench. Graham would be coming off the bench. They got a solid rotation. Washington is playing ball. So they're in a good spot. Trade deadline, Steve, I've been on this show long enough, man. You know how I feel. Rumors. Like most of the time, it's a lot of smoke, no fire. But that being said, I'm getting sick of hearing Nick fan. This guy will be a free agent next year. Just wait until he becomes a free agent. Don't give up no assets. First of all, you got to ask yourself the question, what assets are you talking about? You know, give me an asset on the Knicks that you think is not tradable other than Julius Randle. And maybe I'll surrender. But when you look at the trade deadline, guys, let's take – I'm going to be a little hypothetical. Let's say the Knicks was trying to get Lonzo Ball. And the Pelicans want to get rid of Lonzo Ball. So they say. They're moving in another direction, whatever the case may be. I am just using this as an example, guys. The Wizards – I mean, the Pelicans are in no better position than the Knicks. You want to get rid of him. He has an expiring contract. The Knicks have enough expiring contracts on their team that they could trade to said Pelicans that will have more expiring contracts to let expire next year. And the wheels on the bus go round and round. Maybe you throw a pick in there. Because guess what, guys? For all of those people bragging and boasting about the pick we're getting from Dallas, at the rate it's going now, guys, it's not going to be a high pick. And guess what, fellas? We've been down this road with the draft pick. I'd venture to say 3 out of 4 have been, One was a good player in Barrett. One we lost in Porzingis. The guy we got for Porzingis, Dennis Smith Jr., is now gone. Another draft pick. I'm not a big believer in the draft pick. I believe if you got the talent, you got some assets, you pull the trigger, whether it's now, whether it's tomorrow morning. You pull the trigger because guess what, guys? You know what you need. We on this line know what we need. So if you don't do it at the trade deadline, now next year you're in that free-for-all, you know, whose contract is better for this guy, that guy. Now the ball player's got the option again. He'll go to the highest bidder. Yeah, they all say, I want to go to a winner. Well, we saw what what's-his-name did, the kid that used to play for OKC, Grant. He took the money and went to a team that can't get out their own way. So how did that work out? It's about the money, guys, and I can't knock the players for that. But if you got the opportunity to pull the trigger, then you pull the trigger. There's nobody, I've said this for 2 years now, guys, there's nobody on this roster other than Julius Randle I feel is untouchable. Toppin, I don't know what they're going to do with this guy. I'm praying he don't become another Kevin Knox. Because I watched that game last night in its entirety. I was gonna put it off, but I said, hey, some of these guys are getting – this guy looked lost in a blowout. You know, so I'm not throwing in the towel on him. But, again, I go back to these draft picks. And the one pick that we got super duper late, a wing and a prayer, happens to be a pretty good ball player in quickly. But at the end of the day, Steve, fellas, if you want to show and prove, and like I always say, be in it to win it, not a chip. You're actually bettering your team because now people will see, wow, they actually put this together. Okay, they might have got beat in the first round. Let's say hypothetically we played today, we'd be playing Milwaukee. We all know what Milwaukee has done in the playoffs before. That being said, if you put up a good fight, you know, guys like Steve and Ab and Coach, they're free agents. They're looking, they're saying, man, this ain't my grandfather's Knicks. They putting something together. And if you don't, guys, we go into next year the same way we went into this year, knowing the pieces we need, not getting the pieces we need, and here we are again. So bottom line, Steve, fellas, if you can pull the trigger, pull out the gun. Do not, like I always say, do not be Danny Ainge. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. The Celtics are right now under the Knicks, who had all them assets, all them good young players. And right now they're looking at the bottom of our sneakers. So let's not do that. An asset is only an asset in your mind. If you can make your team better, go for it.
Cool. Let's go to Coach Chris after that, and then look at the Brutus after that. Go ahead, Coach Chris. Fire away your thoughts. What kind of player do you prefer? You like the Julius Randle, the captain types, emotionally fight for you, draw technical fouls as long as they're producing, or you like the more quiet types? And also, the Knicks trade deadline. You want the Knicks to stay put? You want them to make a move? And if they make a move for who? And then we'll go on from there.
So I have no problem with somebody losing their shit at the end of the game if they feel that they are 100% right. I'm not with all the crying and I need a call every time you get touched, but if you really honestly feel in your heart that call should have gone a certain way, hell yeah, voice yourself. You know, make it be known. You know, I don't like the guy who's every play is running his mouth and crying. You know, when it calls for it, I feel like the last few times where he's been upset, it's been called for. It hasn't been him, you know, getting poked in the cheek and throwing himself on the ground like he got shot. You know, he's legitimately, he has a gripe here. You know, he's been getting fouled. He hasn't been getting all the calls. And he's an all-star now, so he should be getting some of these calls that he hasn't been getting. You know, so he's trying to get some respect like that. As far as what Dom said, the last person I could think of that was like this with the Knicks is, even though we didn't have him in his prime, was maybe that year we had Rasheed Wallace, right? Like, everybody knows Rasheed had no problem telling you, ball don't lie, and telling the rest, you suck, you was wrong on that call. You know, that's probably the last dude that was like that for us. I mean, you know, Shumpert was like that a little bit. You know, he was a little fiery. You know, he ran his mouth when he needed to. But other than that, yeah, I haven't seen nobody on the Knicks do this for a while. And I'm happy because it shows that you're not accepting losing. You're not accepting of what's going on. You know, you're out here busting your butt for a certain outcome. It's not going your way. But you're seeing these other guys around the NBA getting these calls and getting all of that. You're demanding this respect. We over here too. We're in this playoff race also. You know, don't keep giving these top five players all the calls and I'm not getting nothing my way. And this back to the Brooklyn game, because how many calls did Brooklyn get that night that we should have gotten a similar call and we didn't? It's because those three guys that they have, even though all three of them wasn't playing, but those three guys over there, if you breathe on them too hard, they're getting that call. You know, and it's just kind of how it is. But, you know, I think he's putting his name out there. He's, like I said, he's an all-star, so he should start getting these calls. If not now, right now. As far as this trade deadline stuff got me stressed, man. I mean, it's too many hypotheticals of what we could do, what we should do. And all day I was listening. I'm in the car riding around with work and doing home visits, and I'm listening to the sports radio. Then I'll turn on you know, the NBA station, and I'm watching all the shows, and it's too many what we could do. But and then the same player that they mentioned with us, they mentioned with like three other teams, and I'm saying, son, come on, man, just give me somebody who just gonna play for the Knicks, just somebody that's gonna be for us, something that we can work out. And I know we all got this right now mentality, but like I said last week, I really hope that they have something in play already, like they have this under the table agreement from somebody, or they're gonna work some trade out, because we've all read the only two that aren't going to be traded are Randall and Barrett, but there's a lot of guys out there that could help this team right now. You know, DeRozan, LaVine, George Hill. I ain't crazy about Lonzo Ball, but you know he's been stepping his game up. He's better than I gave him credit for previously. You know, I don't – Oladipo, you know, there's a bunch of guys out there that could help out immediately right now. Aaron Gordon, even though he plays the same position as Julius Randle, but, you know, I know he's been trying to play small forward more. It's just too many hypotheticals. We're down to these last less than 24 hours, and I'm stressed, man. I can't even talk about this stuff. I'm probably losing some more hair or getting some more gray hair or whatever, but – We want to win now, man. It's been way too long. We've been dealing with this crap, man. As a Knicks fan, I've been stressed out for so long, being the butt of the jokes, living up here in Connecticut. You got all these Celtics fans and Bulls fans, and everybody's a Lakers fan nowadays, and I got to be hearing all this shit, man. I just need something to happen. I need something to happen right now.
All right, shout out to Coach Chris, man. Thank you very much. I got more questions for all you guys, man. Let's go to Brutus, man. Brutus, what's going on? Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. The question, Julius Randle, how he reacts to calls, do you prefer it? I think everybody on this panel tonight agrees with the action. It seems it's warranted. Where do you stand with that? And also your thoughts on the NBA trade deadline. Should the Knicks make a move? And if they do make a move, what move should they make? Then we'll go to myself and then go back to Av on this. But what's going on, man? How you doing?
All right, man. The way I see it is definitely you know, we've been getting hosed by the refs for a very long time. I look at some games, and I try to be very objective when I look at these games, especially I try to check the officiating. And I could just see that from time to time, they have a little bias thing going on, depending on who's playing or what have you. But and that's from team to team. But it definitely seems that there's something – against the Knicks, and we all have seen it, and we know that it's there. So is Julius rightful for letting it be known? Hell yeah. I mean, you know, it's great that he has that fire, you know, to let them know. And like Coach was saying, we don't want to hear all that whining all the time. You know, every play you go through the middle, you yell and one. That's what we hear guys doing every time, you know, foul or no foul. You know, but, you know, definitely there's times where I just seen that, you know, it seems like the refs is definitely not giving us the benefit, you know. Like, we get hit down there just like they get hit. They'll ignore ours almost every time. And, you know, maybe sometimes we'll get away with it down there, but just when you don't need it, that's when they'll call, you know, something that's been going on the whole game. And that's all we can ask for is consistency. So I think Julius is right. Hey, listen, I think Alan Hahn was saying, pass the plate. You know, they fine him $15,000. Pass that plate. Everybody should chip in, because he's saying something that needed to be said. Hopefully the league takes a little bit more of a look at it. And, you know, these guys give us – because I feel if we get a fair shake with the calls, especially down the stretch, we have a chance to be as good as anybody. I mean, you know, and like all of – like so many people been saying for so many years – what about defense, right? And now we have the defense. Folks, we're the number three defense in the league. and at times maybe up to number two. I mean, we have a legitimate championship caliber defense. Now, what we've been talking about is helping Julius Randle and the rest of the team. Now, I don't know what we're going to be able to pull out, and you know that I'm the pretty much the king of trade scenarios and proposals, right? That little machine thing that they got there on the trade machine thing, man. I love playing around with it from time to time. You know, some people take it a little bit too serious, but you know, there's some players out there, and I think that we could definitely improve ourselves if we do something. But, you know, we have to look at it also, even if we didn't do much of anything, which I'm not 100% down for. I really like to see us add something. But if we could get a good, healthy Derrick Rose back for this daggone stretch run, right, and keep Mitchell Robinson healthy for this stretch run, you know, I think that we will be able to make – I mean, because if you look at it, people keep talking about our shooting, right? Our shooting has gotten much improved over the course of this season. I think it is that we have about eight players shooting over 36% from three, with about six of them shooting over 38% from three. That's shooting. You know what I'm saying? We may not have known quote-unquote shooters, but the guys are shooting the ball and they're shooting it well, and right now they're showing it over the course of at least these 42 games. So I'm factoring in that more than likely they could continue to shoot. If Derrick Rose, and that's a lot of things to put your hopes on, because we know Derrick unfortunately has had that history, even with this just catching COVID at this time when he started to play well. When we acquired Derrick Rose, we've been 7-3. With him as a starter, we was 3-0. And I know that a lot of people, some people are for Peyton, some people are against Peyton. I'm not a huge Alfred Payton fan, but I believe that Alfred Payton is a good player. I just believe that this is not the right place for him. We are not the right – I mean, his lack of shooting, I think, cost us. And his finishing around the basket isn't high enough to me to warrant the you know, the pretty much the carte blanche that it seems that he has. He doesn't finish well enough. Who can we pull out there? Like, again, we know all the names that's popping around. I believe that there's going to be a rabbit out the hat. I think something's going to happen. We have the most cap space available. I believe somebody mentioned that we have to spend like about $13-17 million just to get up to the floor. You know, that what's going to happen on the buyout market is that we're going to wind up getting somebody with money, because somebody said it, man, these cats is in it for the money. And based on that, the fact that we could pay more. And then, of course, if we do really see them as part of the future, we could offer them that part to say, hey, listen, we're looking at you long term. You know, you come in here, you perform, you do what you're doing. We're going to pay you a little bit more now, but we also are going to be real serious about re-signing you. We're going to pull somebody that was meant to go, or that all these pundits are talking about is going to go elsewhere. You know, they're putting Drummond in either the Lakers or in Brooklyn or something like that, and they're putting Oladipo in some of these other places, and some of these other guys, right? One of these guys is going to wind up signing with us. Watch that. I think that more than anything, more than the trade happening, we could watch out for a signing of somebody who's out there in that realm. So that's pretty much how I feel about it.
All right. Shout out to Buddhist Man. Thank you very much. We're going to go back around and get some thoughts. Let me say this real quick. And then Av, you could expound on it. Just to all your points. Great points, guys. I was going to say, Dom, as far as Charlotte, I don't know. I follow Devontae Graham very closely, fantasy basketball purposes. I don't know if he has that game to make up for what LaMelo Ball was doing for the last 10 games before he got hurt. I mean, LaMelo Ball has been playing outstanding basketball. And honestly, and this probably is a question for Avern and everybody, if you follow the award stuff and all that, I'm not really big on it. With LaMelo Ball being out for the next month, is this actually an opportunity or a dark horse, Av, for, and this is for a question for you when you get to it. Is this a dark horse for Emmanuel Quickley to steal Rookie of the Year with LaMelo Ball being out all these for the next month and some change with that injury? But that does answer that when it gets to you. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't want to forget that. Now, here's my thoughts on the trade deadline, real quick, and I want you guys to fire away. I'm not for the sake of making a move just to say to make a move, all right? Now, I know what I want, but the math doesn't add up. For instance, I would want a Kyle Lowry type of guy, or Kyle Lowry himself, but his contract is too much. To Brutus's point, he would be a suitable replacement for Elfrid Payton, but the money doesn't match up. I would love to upgrade that. I don't see that deal happen. However, I could see, let's say somebody like Norman Powell. I'm looking at free agents, guys who expiring contracts. We talked about like what Coach Chris said and Dom said, expiring contracts. Norman Powell is somebody I would think would make a lot of sense, whose contract is not as high as a lot of the guys that I think Knicks fans want. He's shooting very well from the field this year, from three this year. I don't expect Toronto to want to sign him back. And Toronto's kind of reeling, man. I mean, they're not really doing well. I think they're saying, all right, we're going to have to rebuild this thing. They had their championship. Ibaka's gone. Gasol's gone. Leonard's gone. I think they know that this isn't working in Toronto, and Kyle Lowry is being the biggest trade piece out there. But I'm actually looking at more somebody like a Norman Powell. I'm not big on Oladipo, like Mr. Live was said the other couple of weeks. So I'm just looking at guys. You know, I would be okay with a Jared Allen, but I think we're kind of good with fours. I'm looking at for more of a wing guy that could shoot it and could play a little bit of defense. To me, out of all the free agents that would be free agents, and for the price, a guy like Norman Powell would make sense for the Knicks, was a knockdown shooter, could defend, could create his own shot off the dribble. Somebody like that would make sense for me, but I'm not necessarily – I don't know what other deals it possibly could be out there, because everybody else is already in the hunt because of the playing field. Av, let's go to you, man. Anything else you'd like to add? I'm not big on Andre Drummond, to be honest with you. And I'm with you, though, Av. Don't get it twisted. It's all about the team first. You know, if they can make the deal, make the deal. But I'm not for trading somebody for the sake of trading somebody. Fournier is okay. I would probably go Norman Powell over Fournier because of price. And almost the same type of player, honestly. But Av, what else is your thoughts? And what is your thoughts on what I just said as far as, is it possible Emmanuel Quickley has a dark horse chance to steal Rookie of the Year with Ball out? What's your thoughts on that? And let's go around. And if you have any questions for Av or Coach Chris or Brutus or myself, feel free to ask, and we'll go right down the line.
Well, to answer your question on the dark horse Rookie of the Year, I think that he already is a dark horse in that race. The kind of minutes and the kind of production that we are getting from Emmanuel Quickley is being taken notice, by a lot of people. His shot selection, is still needs work, but he's a rookie. So, what did you expect? But the fact is that I always think that he was a dark horse option, to steal Rookie of the Year. And with Ball out, I think that he kind of like, he's no longer the dark horse. It's now he's one of the front runners. I think he kind of steps into that realm while Ball's out and recuperating from that injury. I'm looking over, what you were saying about like guys like Powell. By the way, I understand your point on Lowry. I completely understand your point on Lowry. But remember, he's owed $30 million this season. But at the same time, mm-hmm. it's an expiring contract. So it does fall off at the end of the year. So, I mean, it would take a lot of math to make that thing, to make that situation work. But remember, the Knicks do have that $17 million cap space, so they can use that exception to kind of like, to kind of maneuver around it. but it's neither here nor there. The Powell situation does make sense. He's owed $11 million in the next season, and that's a player option, so he can easily opt out and test the free agent market. And in the case of Drummond, I'm not the biggest component of Andre Drummond either. I was hoping for Andre Drummond maybe 4 years ago, maybe five, not now. Will it help the team? Absolutely, but at the right price. You know, if it's not going to cost us an arm and a leg in terms of draft compensation and quality young pieces, then I'm all for it. I mean, because at the same time, Dom mentioned it earlier about the expiring contracts. We have a bunch of them coming off. You know, Reggie Bullock is going to come off. Frank Ntilikina is going to be a restricted free agent. There's a bunch of other ones. Taj Gibson, same thing. Alfred Payton, same thing. There's a bunch of pieces that, you know, that are going to come off our books anyway. So if you can make the move and you can get it at the right price, and that's meaning if you can figure a way to still maintain that Dallas pick, maybe maintain our pick, surrender a couple of second rounders, or maybe, you know, a future first rounder, because the idea is, if the Knicks are going to be, you know, competitive and this is to make the team better, then those draft picks are not going to mean anything because they're going to be in the late first round. That's not saying that you can't get quality. Obviously, look at Emmanuel Quickley. Look at Mitchell Robinson. But the fact is that, you know, you can always get somebody in that secondary market after the draft, after these buyouts, after, you know, the first wave of free agency goes. There's still going to be guys available. So the Knicks should take advantage of this. This is something that we were hoping, and we were kind of let down in this last free agent market, where we really didn't attack it as well as we should have. And, you know, fortunately, you know, the situation with Derrick Rose in Detroit, you know, manifested, and we ended up with him. Taj Gibson, you know, ended up coming along, and both those guys, you know, being veterans and familiar with Thibodeau's system, you know, makes a whole world of difference. But the Knicks do need to address – come on, how many more times can we say it? We need to address our backcourt. Our backcourt is, you know, is our Achilles heel. We do still need to address the shooting. And also, if we're going to talk Drummond, I mean, you know, where would he fit in? Do you start him and sit Mitchell? What about Noel? What happens to him? Is he a trade piece? You know, these are things that, you know, I'm sure that the Knicks are thinking these situations through, but they also need to still address the big elephant in the room. Your backcourt needs some serious, serious adjustment. You don't have a true point guard that's consistent enough and can stay healthy enough, because obviously Derrick Rose and Alfred Payton are still out. I love Reggie Bullock and I love what he's been doing, but I'm not comfortable with him being the starting shooting guard. And you know, we already know that R.J. Barrett can't take up that mantle, so why not address that? There's so many things that the Knicks should be addressing right now, and hoping that free agency is going to be the way to go, when in reality, where do free agents want to go? They want to go for the best place that, you know, for them to win, and who's going to pay them the most? The Knicks are not going to, you know, fork over, you know, $35 million over some second-rate dude, you know, that may have made an All-Star team once upon a time. I'm sorry, it's not going to work. They need to make a move now. What are we holding the assets for? What are we looking for? What are we holding on to this money for? Who are you? Who's the new pipeline dream that Knicks fans are salivating it for? Is it Greek Freak? Is the next coming of LeBron coming? Is there another Kevin Durant that I'm not aware of? I mean, let's be realistic. There are guys out there on the table. I'm sorry, but I know that Washington's asking for a freaking, you know, for basically, you know, the moon under the sun and everything, but why not continue to talk to Washington about Beal? Why not talk to the Raptors about Lowry and Powell? Why not talk to the Magic about Fournier? Why not talk to, you know, I mean, I can go on and on. Why not talk to the Spurs about, talk about DeRozan, talk about this guy. There's so many guys out there. Why not talk to the Magic about Aaron Gordon? Even though, yeah, he plays the same position as Randle, as Brutus already mentioned. But at the same time. Why not? And whatever happened to the three-team deal? I mean, we don't necessarily have to go for like the big cheese. We can get small pieces to you know, to just accent and just make the team a little bit more efficient you know, in certain areas. I'm not looking for a big-name free agent. I'm not looking for the big marquee superstar. I'm looking for a guy who's ready to put, you know, to get his hands dirty and really, you know, elevate the Knicks to another, you know, to a higher profile. Why? It's important. I've already discussed this a million times. The Knicks need to address this, and I'm it's really racking my brain to no end, where I'm starting to grow a bald spot in my head. Why haven't they done anything? Why, you know, or why haven't there has there been any talk? 18 hours. We're probably now down to 17 and change. There's 17 hours, Leon Rose. 17 hours, Scott Perry. You guys have been, I mean, not Rose, but Perry, you've been in this situation before. You once built an NBA championship team in Detroit. You know what's needed. You know what you know what's available. You're making the phone calls. I'm sure you're doing your due diligence. There has to be something to address at least one, if not more, of the deficiencies that are present in the New York Knicks as a roster today. I'm not expecting a miracle that all of a sudden we become an NBA championship contender, but I want to make a noise in these playoffs. I want some respect back into the Garden. Let's do that.
All right, let's go to Dom and then get to Coach Chris and back to Brutus. Go ahead, Dom. Anything else you'd like to add on that? Or?
As far as quickly on that NBA rookie ladder, he went from they got that Edwards guy first, and ironically, Halliburton is number two. I think what puts Halliburton above quickly is his rebounds and his assists. And both of them were coming off the bench for quite some time. So right now, quickly is still a dark horse, but he's actually dropped since this is the update since Ball has been gone. So you got Edwards, Halliburton, quickly. So we'll see. But again, I think we're looking at quickly a little different. Halliburton is a point guard. Quickly was never a point guard. So his assists aren't going to be, you know, off the chart. And as far as this trade deadline thing, guys, if anybody's suggesting Drummond, then you might as well go all in and put all your cards on the table and go get Karl Anthony Towns. Just bring all the Kentucky boys to the Garden and let's see where we go from there. You know, then you're showing me that we're really in this to win it. Because guess what? When you look at, like, right now, for example, guys, when we keep saying we're taking on these big contracts for, let's say, a Lowry, remember, half of their contract's already been paid. So it's not like we're paying them this full contract for the rest of the season. Now, next year, right, it's going to be a different ballgame. But if you get a Karl Anthony Towns, you're giving up contracts. We're already going to do that. You're going to flip some contracts. You may go into the luxury tax, which the Knicks could afford. But you're going to have Karl Anthony Towns because his contract don't expire after this season. So you have him. You'll have Randall. You'll have Barrett. You'll have Quickly. Everybody else is on the table. Period, point blank. Matter of fact, everybody I named other than Randall's ass would be on the table to get Karl Anthony Towns. I told you this before, Steve. We all did some bonehead shit when we were young. He ain't a kid no more. Somebody please check his numbers. This kid is balling in obscurity in Minnesota. It's a shame. It's actually wasted talent to have him somewhere like that when some other team could probably use him, i.e. the Knicks. So if you're going to go for the splash, I can't see Drummond. I can't, guys. Karl Anthony Towns gives you so much more. Better passer, better shooter, as good a rebounder. He may not block as many shots as Drummond, but okay, so what? We have the Knicks team is built on team defense. So it's not like we need a Walt Frazier to lock one guy down. The Knicks have definitely identified that they play great team defense. There's not one stellar defender on the Knicks that's going to be the defensive player of the year. But they play a great team defense. So somebody could come in and fit in. But we need points, guys. We need points. Going back to somebody's point earlier, the Knicks are still last in field goal percentage. They're still last in points per game. I don't care how much they have improved over the last 6, 7, 10 games. They're still dead last. This is the Achilles heel, guys. We could spin this around and around for weeks, and we've done it. It's not about the Knicks' defense. They need points. This is the NBA, guys. If you're holding your opponent to 103.7 points per game, still number one, they may not be the number one ranked defense, but they're still holding their opponent to less points than anybody in the NBA. And we're at 500 because we're the last scoring team in the NBA. This isn't brain surgery, guys. None of us on here are Albert Einstein. These are basic numbers. If you increase your points per game from where they're at now to 4 or 5, that 21-21 ain't 21-21, guys. And it's plenty, as many Nick and Tuck games as we played, those are wins, fellas. But we don't have the firepower. We have Julius Randle. R.J. Barrett's putting up good numbers. But his numbers, to me, always look obscured. Like, they're not, we need these points type points. Where Randle is just getting wore out, guys. We've discussed this for weeks and weeks now. You know, it's ironic. The Knicks are in a blowout last night, and Randle's still on the court. Right? Because you try to put Toppin in, and he looks like Kevin Knox reinvented. Lost, period, don't know what he's doing. So how do you spell this guy when you don't have no other real firepower? That's it for me, Steve. I don't want to beat this horse to death. I just want them to do something. You know, but again, if you're going to go after Drummond, give Minnesota a call. And just tell Minnesota when you get on the call. Tell me who you want. Just pick a player. Pick three players. And we'll accommodate you. And we'll give you both them draft picks. Because those are late draft picks.
To be clear. To be clear, I'm not for Drummond. And it only came up because we listed a bunch of free agents.
Right. I know. I know. Yeah.
I'm good on Drummond. We already got that already, in my opinion. When you combine Noel and Mitchell. So Coach Chris, what you got for us? And then also go to Brutus and get some final thoughts.
Yeah, I'm with y'all, man. I'm not with with the Andre Drummond deal. And with that being said, now that I put it out there, watch us go and get Andre Drummond just because I said that. Because that's typically how it works.
Just our luck, we will.
You know what I'm saying? The minute we verbalize and put it out in the universe, that they hear us and they go, oh, yeah? All right. And they do exactly what we don't want. As far as the rookie of the year stuff, man, I think he's too far out, man. We all know this is – the NBA is a popularity contest. And although Ball was doing his thing, he's balling, he's, you know, I'm not saying – that he doesn't deserve it. But it's a popularity contest. I mean, thinking back, Carmelo should have won Rookie of the Year over LeBron, but LeBron is LeBron, right? We could debate that. Carmelo had more averaging, more points, more rebounds, and his team was winning more games. All right, cool. How many times we go into an all-star game, we talking about this dude should win MVP and then somebody else? Or every year we say this person should win MVP. I mean, it goes on and on and on, you know? So I think Quickley's too far behind. Who I do think could probably catch up is this kid Edwards. I mean, he's been really doing his thing over the past months. He just dropped 40 on Phoenix last week, I think it was. And I think with 3 months left, I think he could really catch up. If he can't steal it, then make it like a co-rookie of the year. You know, we haven't seen that in a while. I think... Man, I'm telling you, I just with the team we have right now, it's if you're a person who's easily satisfied, this team is okay with you. But all of us here are not easily satisfied, right? Because you can't get no way in life being easily satisfied. Like, okay, yeah, that's good enough. Good enough is not good enough. We need something that's going to really step it up. So, honestly. Deep inside, do I think we're going to pull a trigger on something big tomorrow? No. But do I think?
No.
I'm going to say this over and over again. I do think there's something up our sleeves. I do think there's something in the works, but I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. Norman Powell, yeah, I would like him. I've always liked him since he was UCLA, I think. You know, he's always been a good player. You know, I'm a DeRozan fan, so he was backing up DeRozan for a few years. But I'm reading that there's teams that up into the teens is the amount of teams that are looking for Norman Powell. I was actually surprised myself when I saw that Norman Powell was on the trading block because I thought that even if they rebuild, they would use Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet to do that. But now that his name is out there and is circulating, yeah, I mean, test the water, see what they want. I don't mind bringing him in. I think he would be an immediate player on our team. I mean, he'd give an immediate spark, whether it be starting or off the bench. I think he could do either one. But let's just, you know, everybody pray to whatever God you pray to, or, you know, get your lucky rabbit's foot and, you know, holy water and everything you do, and see that if we wake up tomorrow morning, that ESPN newsflash will be on our phones and it's somebody that we never even thought the Knicks was going to pull out. So yeah, let's just do that.
Cool. Shout out to Coach Chris, man. Hey, Brutus, give us your thoughts, your final thoughts on this real quick. Give us about a minute and a half on anything else you'd like to add to the conversation. We'll back to add because of time. Go ahead, Brutus, by the way.
Yeah. Real quick. As far as quickly, I believe that he will be a first-team all-rookie, but I don't think he's going to, you know, pull it out to become rookie of the year. And if we really look at it, based on some of the moves that some of us are talking about, it actually could impede quickly even further based on the fact that his playing time may go down. You're already starting to see where Coach is not playing with that, you know, if he comes in and there's a little bit, you know, things is not going the way they want to. He's pulling him. He's getting more and more comfortable with even Burks at point guard than him. The same thing with Toppin. He's on his way maybe going down. So that's with that. As far as us doing something big now, I really wanted it. I was talking about it earlier. I mean, you know, on Twitter, of course, I'm about getting either Zach LaVine or Karl Anthony Towns, but there's no sign that those guys have asked to be out of their situation. So, therefore, it doesn't look like anything like that is going to happen. Like I said, mostly what we're probably going to be looking for is going to be something on the buyout market more than the trades. If we do make the trade, I could see us somehow pulling the Lonzo Ball trade. So that would be something. That would probably be about the biggest thing that I think that we would do come on this trade deadline. Other than that, buyout market, or even a guy like Otto Porter, it's a shooter. He's definitely going to be bought out. He'll be available. So look for something like that, or like I said, one of these other guys who get bought out, Oladipo, Drummond. We might wind up, picking up those guys over making trades. So that's the way I see it.
All right, man. Shout out to Brutus, man. Thank you very much. Av dropped. Coach Chris dropped. Shout out to Dom. Dom, it's situation. We're going to be having a post game a little bit later than usual next Wednesday because the Knicks play at 8 p.m. next week. So post game versus the Timberwolves, probably about 10 o'clock-ish. Whatever the game ends, we're going to be on to discuss it. Hopefully the Knicks, we'll see what they have done or have not done. We'll continue the discussion here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum after the game versus the Timberwolves next Wednesday. So I don't know why Av and Coach Chris dropped. Like, I have no idea. But we're at the end
Steve,
of the episode anyway.
Steve, can I say one thing?
Real quick, man.
Hey, did Brutus drop?
Real quick. No, he's
did
here.
Brutus drop?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
I just want to thank him, Steve. I've been on this boy's ass for months to join us. I'm happy you made it, brother. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. No problem, man. No doubt, man. I mean, you know, it's just sometimes I either miss it or either sometimes I'm still working or what have you. But, you know, like I'm here, I was trying to watch this Boston and Milwaukee game, and then I said, oh, yeah, my man told me to get on, man. So I'm glad I did, man. We, you know, it was we was all dropping some nice science there. You know, I appreciate having the a forum to be able to talk, you know, talk our Knicks on.
Yeah, every Wednesday, man, Knicks, NBA, Knicks, NBA around the league. Got a post game, so immediately after the game versus the Timberwolves, we'll be here to discuss it. Shout-outs to Knickerbocker Ash, shout-outs to Coach Chris, Dom, Brutus, myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Enjoy the rest of your week and your college basketball this weekend. We'll be back next Wednesday to continue the discussion. Let's go Knicks. Lead blue.
All right.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.